The radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Psalm number 46. You have Psalm 46. So I have the word. We're ready to receive it. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song of Alamoth. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There's a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. With desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burned the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Amen. You know that reading the psalm, it doesn't make sense for a teaching or a preaching, but it's more for a praising. Amen. And that's what the psalms are all about. The psalms is the hymn book. The praise book of Israel that they use during the time of worship. So this morning I want to give you a thought, a title tag to this message, God is with us. Amen. God is with us. The grass withered, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. God is with us. Tell your neighbor, no matter what, God is with us. Amen. 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 You got to believe that he is with us. Isaiah called him Emmanuel. God with us. Amen. The Psalm number 46, the setting of the Psalm, some believe that it was during a time when Israel was under some extreme trouble and pressure. They believe that this is a time when Hezekiah, when Judah was under pressure from the king of Assyria, who was coming to destroy them. Now you got to understand, they had just saw Israel destroyed and what Assyria did to Israel. And now Judah, which is praise, they were in the place now where they said, look, we're under great stress and strain. And so we really need God to be what? With us. Amen. You ever been like that? That you have been under such stress, strain, and the enemy has attacked you, and you said, look, I really need God to be with me through this thing. This is where Judah was. And now, some say Hezekiah wrote the psalm. Others say that it was the sons of Korah. And notice the importance of the psalm, because they didn't just give this song to the choir member. All right, you'll see what I'm saying. It says to the chief musician. meaning that the head guy, the one who ran the music ministry, was in charge of this song. Somebody who was skilled, because they didn't want this messed up. I know everybody think that we all just sang, you know. But they said, no, give this to somebody who got skill, because we need to feel this. Okay, all right, y'all ain't feeling me. Y'all ain't feeling me. The chief musician of the Sons of Korah. Now, when we talk about the Sons of Korah, when we start thinking about who they were, the Sons of Korah, do you remember the Bible says that Moses had a fella in his camp by the name of Korah. He was a rebellious man because he thought that God didn't just speak to Moses. God, we all seen the presence of God. He led a rebellion. And Korah died. Korah died, and somehow God appointed folks that's related to him and his family to be the ones who led worship in the temple. The reason why God did this is because they learned a lesson. They learned that, hey, we can't act like dad in them. Because they learned that God was real. And they realized that if we rebel, we're going to stay faithful to God. And if nobody understood, they understood. And so God wanted somebody faithful to praise him. Okay, that don't mean that neither. But notice it says a song of Alamoth. Word Alamoth means this song was to be sung in a high pitch or played in a high pitch. It means that it should be sung kind of falsetto, not low, because we don't want to be low, we want to be high. Oh, come on and say amen. It's supposed to be sung in a strong voice, high pitch, played in a high tone, and it says, I want you to play it, but then I wanted to start out, God is our refuge. See, I can't just sing and say, God is my refuge. No. He wanted it to be a hit right off the top. Say, God is our refuge. Now, the first thing I want you to see, first off, is that Israel was going through a time of trouble, a time of attack, a time where it seemed like the enemy was going to overcome them, because the enemy had overcome their brother, and the enemy had destroyed Israel. And so Judah was in a disarray, and they had surrounded the city to the point that they couldn't get anything in or anything out. They thought that they had cut off the water supply. I don't know if you remember reading, I hope you do read your Bible, but the Bible says that Hezekiah at that time, that he dug a trench, and the river that was outside, the water that was outside of the city, he secretly dug a trench or a tunnel to bring water into the city. Now let me tell you, I was in Israel, and I went through the tunnel. And for my size, I mean, it was real narrow, and you had to get down and go through. I don't think Deacon Smith could make it through that, because it's tight. It's tight. And the way they tell us how it happened is that they had some people that was, you know, a mile or two away, and they dug on one side and the others dug on the other side, and somehow God made them meet right in the middle. Isn't that something, how God, even though we may be opposite on some things, God will put us in a place where we find ourselves in agreement so that his plan would work? And that's what God would do for us in time of trouble. If we would just trust him and do the work, he'll make a way. And so even though the enemy had surrounded them and thought that they had shut off all their water and shut off all their food, God said, I got a plan that the enemy won't know what's going on with you, and they won't understand how you're lasting so long. Even though he thought you were going to fail, you still are lasting. You still doing what you do. I wish I had somebody in here. The enemy thought you were done, but God said that I got a way to confound the enemy. The enemy thought that he had you shut up and you couldn't do nothing because he had blocked you in. But that's all right. Because God has a what? A way. Amen. So when they says this, when they said this, that even though we are in somewhat of a blockade or a prison, he said, God is our strength, our refuge and our strength. Now when we start talking about strength, we have to understand that we sometimes try to do things on our own because we're strong. I'm strong-willed, I'm strong-minded, I got a strong personality. You know, we like that. People tell us, oh, you're strong. Oh, well, what about when you get weak? And sometimes God allow you to get weak because he wants you to know that your weakness, your strength don't mean anything when it comes to what he wants to do. He don't need you to be strong. He just needs you to be faithful. God don't need you to show how many muscles you got. He wants you to be a worshiper. Y'all still with me here? He wants you to have a relationship with him. He don't care about how, you know, bodily exercise profit a little. Y'all with me here? But we do know that if you exercise your faith, it'll profit you a lot. He said, God is our refuge and our strength. I wish I had somebody here. See, they were going through an overwhelming turmoil. They were going through some stuff. And these sons of Korah wrote this because, or Hezekiah, whoever wrote it, they wrote this because they had some trials that had weakened them. And the Bible even tells us that when we are weak, then he is what? If I get weak, I ain't got to worry because I got a Savior. I got a God. I got a Father who's stronger than I. I run to the rock who's higher than I, who's stronger than I am, who's better than I, who can do more than I can do in my own strength. Y'all with me here? And so he says, the Lord is my what? Refuge. The word refuge is the word makase in the Hebrew or in the Chaldean, and it is a shelter, a place where you can hide for protection. So in the terrified crisis of Jerusalem, the psalmist led people to believe, to know that God was a place you can hide for protection. Even though the enemy was surrounding them, they knew that God would be their hiding place. You see, God sometimes wants you to hide in him so your enemy can't find you. They're wondering where you at. I've been in prayer all this time running from you. I've been in prayer. I wish I had. I've been in worship. I've been in my word. Anybody been like that? Oh, yeah, they thought, where you been? They thought it because they said something about you that you decided. No. I've been in prayer all this time. That's why I can come back out and face you and love on you and tell you God bless you. Because if I wouldn't have got in prayer, I would have done something in my own strength. He's my refuge and my what? Strength. The word strength, it speaks of the power of God that he gives us to endure adversity. God gives us power to be able to endure adversity. In other words, God empowers us or enables us. In the New Testament, that word is called grace, a charis. What it means is that God gives us enabling power to do something that ordinary people can't do. Yeah, God gives me enduring power, things. Empowers me with something that an ordinary person don't have. And so when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God lifts up a standard, and they wonder how I can lift my head unto the hills for whence cometh my help. It is not because I actually lifted my head, but I found out that he will be the lifter of my head. Y'all don't hear me in this house. It says, the Lord is my refuge and my strength and a very present help in trouble. The word trouble is the word sara. Literally means a narrow place or a tight place. It means to be when you're in a position where you're unable to move. You know, you can't do nothing. You know, when you're in a tight place, when you're in the jaws of trouble, you can't move, you can't get yourself out. It is also described to express severe pressure. Anybody been under pressure? Anybody been in a tight place? Anybody been in a place where it seemed like you can't move? Well, maybe your money is funny.
and your chains are strained. That means you can't buy nothing. You can't move. I can't pay my bill. I can't do nothing. I wish I had somebody. Yeah, they don't believe nothing I say, so I can't do nothing. They don't try. I wish I had somebody. It ain't nothing I can do about this. I'm in a tight. Anybody been in a tight? I'm in dire straits. I'm in a place where it's hard for me to move. I wish I had a few people here. We face situations beyond our control. And because these situations are beyond our control, ain't nothing we can do. I can't move. I ain't making no progress. Y'all hear me here? And so he said the Lord is a very what? Present. The word very is the word mehold in the Hebrew, and it's an indication that he is exceedingly and speedily present. And not even a second goes by that we face trouble alone because he's always there. Y'all with me now? In other words, he's a very present help in the time of trouble. In other words, God is always there. Before you can call him, he's there. Before you can think him, he's there. Okay, come here, Hebrew boy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says that when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, that they looked and they found out that Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, "Did not we throw in three? How is it that we see four, and the fourth is that the Son of God?" And so what are you saying here? I'm saying that Jesus went in the flame before the fire, before they were thrown in the fire, to take and rob the heat out of the flame so it could not have or prevail over them. And so guess what God does? Before you go in your trial, he already goes in there and make it right. Before you go in your situation, he already makes a way, but we don't want to go through it. Here's the problem. We don't want to go in the fire, but he's in the fire. So I might as well go through my trouble. I might as well go through my pain, because I got to go where he is. And if he's in the fire, I'd rather be in the fire than to be with Nebuchadnezzar. If he's in the fire, I'd rather be with him than to be with my enemy. Do I have any witnesses?
Y'all not going to help me preach this. Huh?
We're never left alone. I've been in trouble, but I ain't been by myself, because he's a very present. So when you look at the word meod, and he said it indicates an exceeding and speedily, that he's there speedily and exceedingly. In other words, God is always there, and he's there speedily. Before your enemy know what to do, God already got a hand in him. God already saw what the devil went by Job's house. And God asked him, "Where you been?" "Oh, I've been to and fro." God already knew where he'd been. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" "Well, since you asked, I've been by his house." But here's the thing. Why would God put a hedge up if he didn't already know the devil was going? He already knows before the devil tries it. I wish I could preach somewhere else. Y'all looking at me. Before the enemy tries it, he already made a way. All right. You see the strength. He said, "The Lord is my refuge and my strength, their present help in the time when I'm in a position where I can't move and can't do nothing. When it's tight on me." Tell somebody, it's tight on me. But that's all right. God is with me. Is God with you? Are you sure? Y'all don't act like you're people that got God with you. Are you sure that God is with you? I know he's with me. He says, verse 2, now we understand that he's our strength. But then we see there are some struggles. And notice what he says in verse 2 and 3. He said, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and with the swelling thereof." And look at this. He's looking at this. He says that even though I'm in a situation, but the whole everything going through, it ain't no peace nowhere. But while they go through, I ain't scared. It's some stuff that's bigger than me, that's bigger than us. He said that, look, even the mountains are moved. He said there's an earthquake and the mountains start to move. He said, I'm still not going to fear. I don't care what goes on. We got some stuff that's going on around us now. We already got some problems. We already in the straits. We already in a tight fix. But there's some other stuff going on around us, and it seems like perilous times are right now all around us. He said, and if the mountains got problems and the sea got problems, if there's a hurricane, if there's bad weather, we still ain't going to fear. I've been in trouble, but I'm not going to fear. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the word Selah means I'm thinking on this, meditating, I'm stopping and pausing and thinking about what I just said. What I just said was, I don't care what's going on out there, I got peace in here. I don't care what's happening around me, I know that within me, I know what's happening within me. That I have the joy of the Lord to be my strength. Y'all don't hear me in here. And so there's some stuff that's going to go, I'm going to be in some situations I don't want to be in, and there's going to be some stuff going on around me that I don't like, and some stuff that everybody else will be fearful of, but I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to stand still on the promises of God. See, there's a problem. Many of us are sitting on the premises and we're not standing on the promises. We need to be standing on God's promises, on what he said. Y'all still with me here? I know you ain't going to pay attention till it go off, so. Though the waters roar, the waters are making plenty of noise. The waters represents trouble. I'm in a fix and trouble's all around me. And I hear it. And you know what we hear affects how we act. What we hear affects our faith. Lord have mercy. What we hear makes us fear. You know what you heard? Well, I heard. Now, oh Lord have mercy. You know, what we hear makes us react, right? And you know what else? Fear puts us in a very emotional state. And so when we hear something, it makes us fear, then we act out. But here is a person that is writing a psalm that's saying, yeah, I heard some stuff, and I'm already in a tight fix. And when I heard it, I decided that I won't fear. Can you decide today that you won't have fear? Because why? Fear is the opposite of faith. When you have fear, you can't have faith at the same time. Listen, fear makes you a victim. And you got to refuse to be a victim. Amen. You got to say that I'm a victimizer. Amen. I'm going to make sure I'm going to stomp the devil's head. Amen. I'm going to put him under my what? See, y'all don't hear me. Amen. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror. Through Christ, I wish I had. I got 3 or 4 people that hear me today. Thank you, Lord. He says, verse 4, when we talk about strength, we talk about struggle. Here's your third point, stability. There's a river. Now, the water's in trouble. The mountain's in trouble. I'm in a pickle, but there is a river. And this thing that when he said, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The place where God dwells is where I want to be. And the thing about this I want to show you is that this was Jerusalem. This was the city of God. This was the place of worship. And guess what? They were saying that I struggle still in the place where I worship. I have trouble while I'm still worshiping. I have trouble while I'm praying. I have trouble while I serve God. I have trouble, but even though I serve him, there's a river. That when I get in the flow of things, I don't hear nobody in here. That when I start to flow with the Spirit of God, that's why I need him to flow through me. I need the flow of the Spirit. And when we get in the flow, see, sometimes we don't want to get in the flow because we're either too slow, or we don't want to move, or we don't want to say nothing, or we don't want to let the Lord have his way. But when you get in the flow of the river and stream of God, he will make you glad. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how big of a tight you're in. I don't care how bad situations get. I don't care what's going on around you to distract you from your worship of God. But he said that there is a river. And when we understand there's a river that's flowing through the city of God, the place of worship, it'll make you glad. Anybody want to be glad? You ought to be tired of frowning and fussing. You ought to be tired of just acting all crazy and strange. You ought to say, you know, I'm happy today. I'm glad. He said it'll make me glad. And glad people normally talk. Glad people make noise. Glad people, you know, what is all that racket? They're just glad. They're just happy. And all I want you to do is understand that God has a river that if you just drink from it this morning, it'll make you glad. It'll make you happy, glad. It'll make you want to celebrate it in jubilance. And hey, I wish I had a few people. You'll declare your jubilee is here. You know what jubilee is? Jubilee is every 50 years. They said that no matter if a person been in bondage for 50 years or if somebody took your land for 50 years, that it all has to go back to you. I declare jubilee for your life this morning. And when you get jubilee, you can act out in jubilance no matter what they took from you, no matter how they stole it from you. You need to say, ah, it's my year of jubilee. And if I got my land took, I got it back. If my joy been taken, I got it back. If my peace been taken, I got it. I got it back. Anybody want it back? I'm taking it back because I washed in the river that flowed through the city. And the river healed my body. The river made my heart happy. Do I have anybody? There's a river. Tell somebody there is a river. The streams which make you glad in the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, where God dwells, there's a river. Tell somebody where God is, there is a river. And I want you to know that God dwells in this tabernacle. And since he dwells in here, the Bible said that from me will flow rivers of living. From my belly flow rivers of living water. And so when I speak from the belly, when I speak out from my belly, I need you to get in the flow, because we can't let the enemy dam this up. We can't let him be a spiritual beaver and stop the flow of God's river. And so I came to do, I came to move the blockade. I came to say, let it flow, let it flow, let it. Yeah, there's a river. Oh, the city, it makes me glad. The ones that are in the city, I want you to get this. They had the enemy all around them. That wouldn't let nothing go out or come in. They had thunders and earthquakes, and they had all kind of stuff that was going on around them. But they said, even though the enemy's all around and all this stuff is happening all around me, the environment just don't seem right for me to be happy. Even when the environment don't seem right for you to be happy or to be glad, you just need to know, you know, you have no choice. Because at some point you got to get in the river. At some point you got to drink from the river. And whatever in the contents of the river, it ends up nourishing you. And so have a sad heart, it gives you joy down in the inside. When you have a troubled mind, it'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. I wish I had a few people in here. It'll put skipping in your feet. And I wish I had somebody and waving in your hands and shouting on your lips. And you'll begin to tell the Lord what a good God is, that how he picked you up and turned your life around. You begin to tell the Lord that he's a rock of your salvation, that the Lord is your light and your salvation. I wish I had somebody. You begin to tell God that I know my Redeemer lives. You can become like Job and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You become like Job and say, I know my Redeemer lives. Is there anybody here that said, I know that the Lord lives because he woke me up early this morning? Somebody say, yeah.
Jesus.